significance of chart designs, astrological charts, with the lifelong efforts of Dr. B.V. Raman, the famous Bangalore Venkatraman, and some others devoted to the cause of expounding this holy science. Interest in Indian astrology has revived, and it is no longer looked at as the hereditary profession of a few as it was in the past. In the recent days, the astrology has been commercialized very much. Translations of ancient works on the subjects are available in English and local languages with difficult passages explained. A scientific angle is added to it, and people from all walks of life have started taking interest in this subject. With increase in the number of students all over the country and world, certain demands have also surfaced. One such demand is that chart design should be uniform all over the country. Habits die hard, and once one gets used to the study of a particular design of a chart, he feels at ease. This is one of the reasons that some of South Indian friends use services to convert the North Indian charts into South Indian style, and vice versa. For the sake of convenience, unfortunately, there is no literature to give the slightest idea on the genesis of the prevalent chart designs in org. In the last 35 years, there is no article about on this subject. It looks that there is a much necessity about talking about on these chart designs. What are the preliminaries that require when designing a chart? Our ancient sages, in their quest for divine knowledge, developed a science by which the influence of heavenly bodies on living beings could be interpreted. First of all, they studied the nature and influence of the planets and divided them into the categories of natural malefics and natural benefics. That is, natural enemies and natural friends. The rays of planets which lent support to the rays or other planets were declared as friends, and those which interfered with and checked their brilliance were said to be enemies, the bad. The planets were observed to exalt fully when they reached certain degrees of the zodiac, and such planets were said to give very good results. These planets debilitated 180 degrees away from their points of exhalation, and they gave harmful effects provided they did not have the Nicha Bhanga cancellation of debility. That is, reversal of whatever the debility is there. The planets, due to their closeness to the sun within the range of certain degrees, were found to have the effect of their rays weakened by the sun. The state was called combustion. Such planets, if strong, are aspected by Jupiter or the First Lord, regained their strength and did not do any harm. On the other hand, if the sun was the lord of an evil house and the planet involved devoid of strength or debilitated and expected by malefics, such a planet give harmful effects. The ecliptic was divided in 12 equal parts of 30 degrees and called rasis, which depending on their nature were further classified as movable rasis, fixed rasis, mutable rasis, odd and even fiery, airy, earthy and watery rasis. The rasi of the sun, that is Leo, as per Dr. B.V. Raman, was taken as the earth and lordship of these rasis allotted to planets in a sequence of their distance from the earth, that is Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. Therefore, one cycle was from Kataka to Kumbha, that is Cancer, to Aquarius, counted backwards, and the second from the Capricorn to Leo. As the planet is said to be swastha, healthy, in his own house and promotes the beneficence of the house it rules, the sages must have found the cosmic influence in such rasi, supported by the influence of planets said to be their lords. As the hot iron, when dipped in water, absorbs some properties and retains the temper permanently, so does the newborn coming out of the womb exposed to the rays of planets and the Judaic above retains the effect of the cosmos, which will mold its personality and chart the course of future events in its life or his life. So the chart of the heavens of the time and place of birth and the rising rasi in the east at that moment thus becomes the first requirements for delineation of the traits of the native. Each house from Lagna onward signifies some span of human activity and his relations with others. While the first house is related to the body and head, the second is related to the family, food, eyes and speech. The third house related to the courage, brothers, sisters, and the fourth to the mother and home comforts. In this way, each of these houses has certain attributes and functional jurisdiction. The physical fitness of the body when a child was born was the first consideration. As he stepped out from the period of infancy, he developed his links with the members of the family to which he was able to see and recognize. He virtually became the partner of the wealth of the house. It was during this stage he learned to eat and speak. The third step was playing with his brothers and sisters and display of his courage and strength. And the fourth, the development of his senses to enjoy the comforts of home under the care of his mother. The fifth stage thereafter was his education and the study of Vedic knowledge. In the sixth stage, he learned from his guru the art of archery and developed his skill in the use of weapons to fight against the enemies, which sometimes resulted in wounds. This thus completes the period of his Brahmacharya ashram. The seventh stage was his marriage and his link with the people who were foreign to him, that is the people in his in-law's side. In the eighth stage, he inherited the properties of his father. He also had worries, fear and grief that protection of father would no longer be there, as the latter was expected to leave for Vanaprastha. The ninth stage related to his fortune, for transfer of power to him, his coronation, the journey of his father from Vanaprastha, and the performance of havanas, rituals, dips in the holy waters. The tenth stage related to his own activities, as good or bad, and his exercise of power to rule over the state. The 11th stage was the period for him to consolidate his gains. In the last and final 12th stage, it was his own return to relinquish everything and leave for Vanaprastha for meditation and attainment of moksha. This is a surmise, although the sages could have had other reasons also to allocate their functions to the houses. The prosperity of each house is assessed on the basis of the strength of benefic influences it enjoys. If the house itself is a benefic rasi and positioned suitably from lagna, if the house has benefics or is aspected by benefics or by its own or lagna lords, the house or its lord has benefics on either side or in kendra and trikona from it, and has malefics in 3rd, 6th and 11th houses. The position of the lord in a benefic rasi, in a kendra or trikona. Parashara says that kendras are Vishnusthanas and trikonas are Lakshmisthanas. It is the relationship between their lords that gives rise to prosperity. According to him, the 6th, 8th and 12th houses are civil houses, evil houses. Planets in these houses of associated with their lords give bad results. Planets in the 3rd and 11th house are good, but association with their lords, with Kendra or Trikona lords, will spoil their Raja Yogas. The 2nd house is neutral, as its lord gives the results of its own 2nd Rasi lordship. In other words, the 2nd lord Venus for Aries Lagna will give results of the 7th lord, hence death inflicting. For Leo Lagna, the 2nd lord Mercury will give the results of 11th lord, hence bad. For Virgo Lagna, the 2nd lord Venus will give the results of 9th lord, hence benefic. If a benefic planet owns the 3rd and 6th, the 8th and 11th houses, it turns out to be a malefic. Hence, Jupiter for Taurus Lagna as lord of the 8th and 11th houses, and Venus for Pisces Lagna as lord of 3rd and 8th houses, act as worst malefics and do harm. On the contrary, the Saturn as lord of the 9th and 10th houses of Taurus Lagna, and Mars as lord of 5th and 10th houses of Cancer Lagna, prove to be Yoga Karakas. The specific relations developed by planets as lords of various houses by conjunction, mutual aspect, and by their position from one another, and occupation of certain houses with reference to lagna, are termed as yogas. each such combination has a special influence to facilitate judgment on these common principles and many others. Sages suggested certain methods and devised charts where the position of planets once shown could help the astrologers to measure the interrelations of these heavenly forces and their influences for good or bad in the chart. Once a chart is commonly known as Bhrigu Kundali. It is rectangular with corners joined by diagonal lines and midpoints of four outer walls, also joined by diagonal lines as shown. This chart is followed in the north and northwestern India. Its lagna is a focal point from where the houses are counted as 1, 2, 3. Relating to certain spheres of life, the chart is resolved in such a manner that the rasi denoting lagna is positioned on the top, indicating it as the first house of or head of Kala Purusha. No separate indications to mark the position of lagna are made. The counting of houses is done anti-clockwise, so that the fourth house should take its position to the natural north of the chart and the house of the tenth house in the south. In this chart design, the kendras and trigonas from the ascendant rasi can be easily identified to verify the Raja Yogas. The trika houses with reference to lagna can be easily identified as one of them lie one house behind the lagna and the other two more evil on either side of the seventh house, which is positioned vertically opposite the top square. That is lagna. As the houses are easily identified, the study of the chart on the basis of given principles becomes easy. The main advantage of this design is that all the four kendra houses from the lagna get in a group in the center of the chart, forming an inner rectangle. This helps an astrologer to judge the Kendra Bala, the strength of the Kendra, of the planets, if any of them are found placed in such houses. The Panch, Mahapurusha Yogas and many other yogas can be easily seen from the position of the planets in these houses. Parasara say that Mercury and Jupiter gain strength in the east, the Sun and Mars in the south, Saturn in the west, and Venus and the Moon in the north. As these four houses in the center are also pointers to the four directions, that is first for east, fourth for north, seventh for west, tenth for south, the directional strength, big balas, enjoyed by these planets can also be roughly ascertained and measured. In another northeast division, a pair of horizontal parallel lines intercept another pair of vertical parallel lines and the four inverted triangles bisected by means of diagonal lines without circles around. This chart is followed in most of the northeast Indian states like West Bengal and Assam. In this chart, the sign Aries is always kept on the top and numbering of process is done from right to left, that is anti-clockwise. The letter L or LA is put in the Rasi that denotes Lagna. In Brihat Parasara, Hora Shastra says Parasara has referred to Sudarshana Chakra. He has recommended its use for prediction and he has advised the diagram to be made as follows. Draw the three circles one upon another and divide the path between them into 12 parts. Further says that three charts thus made, the first shall relate to Lagna, the second to Chandra as Lagna, and the third to the Sun as Lagna. He adds the signs denoting Lagna, the Moon and the Sun, be so positioned that they all constitute the first house of the grand design. One of the books on Parasara published by Kasi Sanskrit series has given the design of the Sudarshan Chakra. The suggestion is that the horoscope be not only studied from Lagna but also from the Moon and the Sun, taken as ascendant with due regard for Saptavarga strength of the planets. The northeastern design seems to be an offshoot of the Sudarshan Chakra with certain changes. As the study of Sudarshan Chakra was cumbersome and a difficult process, as it involved a collective examination of all the three charts at a time, those not well advanced found it beyond their reach. Gradually the circles are bid goodbye too. The circles are even put these days around the horoscopes in the princess chart diagrams, but they cover the range of zodiacal signs only. It is seen, however, that separate charts, first for the Lagna, second for the Moon as Lagna, and the third for the Sun as Lagna, are still being made and incorporated in certain horoscopes. The savants of this region belong to the school of thought that believed in the effects of fixed zodiac, so that importance was given to Chara Rasis as these formed the Kendras of the fixed zodiac. There is a big mix-up these days due to absence of definite guidelines. The publication of Raman literature have also made some inroads. While the Ashtottari Dasha system is still the favorite of the world, the younger generation has switched on to Vimsottari Dasha. In this region, a great deal of importance is maintained to nakshatras. Almost every astrologer first looks at the placement of planets in various nakshatras and assesses the relative strength between the Rasi, the planet and the nakshatra. Lord, as the starting point for a zodiacal sign and the asterisms are both reckoned from 0 degree Aries, the sign or Aries is always positioned on the top. This diagram of fixed zodiac helps the astrologer to assess the location of planets in different zodiacal signs as per their degrees. They simultaneously mark on them the nakshatra numbers without the help of any book. In this chart, four cardinal points, top, bottom, left and right, are Chara Rasis, each followed by Sthira and Vishobha Rasis. The judgment in regard to location of planets in Chara, Sthira and the Swabhava Rasis thus becomes easy. The other advantage of this design is that it helps in a judgment of Uchavara strength of the planets to some extent. The four important planets, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn and the Sun, exalt and debilitate in these Chara Rasis. The rest of the planets, namely the Moon, Mercury and Venus, also have their place of exhalation and debilitation in a Rasi, ahead or behind the first and the seventh houses of the fixed zodiac design. As the debilitation and exhalation signs can be easily identified, the application of principles relating to Nicha Bhanga or the cancellation of the debilitation planets becomes easiest. Now comes the South Indian design. In this chart, the space between the outer and inner squares is divided into 12 parts indicating 12 Rasis. The numbering of Rasis is done from left to right, that is clockwise. The letter L Agna is put in the Rasi denoting the ascendant. The chart design is followed in most of the South Indian states as well as in Central India. Says Jaimini in his Sutra Pala 1 says, meaning that Rasi aspects each other in their front. The movable aspect the fixed ones and the fixed aspect the movables. The planets deposited in the such Rasis also aspect the planets in other Rasis in the same way. It is implied that each mutable Rasi also aspect the other mutable Rasis as they are positioned in front of each other in this design. Parasara has explained it in more clear language. This method can be explained by a diagram. Explaining about drishti strength in this book, that planet cannot exercise any aspect over another bhava or planet which is within 30 degrees and beyond 300 degrees from the aspecting planet. Now we have a look at this chart design followed in South India. We find that all the mutable Rasis stand separated from others due to their placement in the corners. The four groups of movable and fixed Rasis find their place in the middle in four directions. The numbering is done clockwise from second top square as 1, 2, 3, referring to Aries, Taurus, Gemini, etc. In a manner that fixed and movable Rasis face one each other from all directions. The Rasi said to be the one close to it and not aspected falls by the side of the aspecting Rasi in the same way. As the sages have used the word in front, it is assumed that they had in mind the chart design of the time was vague and generally known as the students of astrology. This chart design that dates back to the period much before Parasara and Jaimini facilitates delineation of horoscopes based on Rasi and special aspects of planets and some other advanced principles continue to date in the South from time immemorial. Apart from judgment of Rasi aspect, this chart can be very advantageous in the context of other Jaimini principles. The determination of longevity on the basis of Jaimini Sutras Ajaya 2 can be done by an astrologer by merely looking at the position of Lagna and Hora Lagna and the placement of 1st and 8th Lord and the Moon Rasi Lord and the Lagna Lord is movable, fixed and immutable signs without taxing the mind. Unfortunately, the South Indian chart lacks in design to pinpoint Kendras and Trikonas. It also does not provide any visual indication pertaining to houses with reference to Lagna. This therefore poses a problem for those who are not sufficiently used to it. In view of the above discussions and explanations, the readers may find that each chart is designed for a different purpose and it has its own importance and uses. Our Rasis, in spite of profound development, of their spiritual powers were no less intelligent than the people today. They were aware of these designs, as Maharishi Parashara has written about Raja Yogas, Rasi aspects and the Sudarshan Chakra. If it were expedient to evolve a uniform design for a chart, the Rasis would have done it themselves. Thank you very much.